Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. This evening we will be in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 20, to save much people. And this morning we are in Genesis 35. Put away strange gods. And this is Jacob's experience of the blessing that he received when he recognized the urgency of turning away from worldliness and idolatry and serving the one true God. Even as we can receive blessing and a strengthening of our faith when we strive for holiness, when we strive for obedience to the Word of God. Let us sing hymn number 548, More Love to Thee, O Christ.
More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. Hear Thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to Thee, more love to Thee. More love to Thee. Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now Thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to Thee.
Jacob and his family were in need of a recommitment, a refocus upon their service and their obedience to God, even as we need to look to His Word and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The hymn is 501, Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, Let me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Amen. And as Jacob remembered God's blessings and provision of the past, he recognized God's sustaining hand in his present, and he received hope and assurance for the future. We can receive similar blessing as we recognize the abiding faithfulness of God as we sing hymn number 616.
God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Thy love divine hath led us in the past. In this free land, by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Thy word our all, thy paths our chosen way. From worlds apart, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy bounteous goodness nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine. And glory, Lord, and praise be ever thine.
Amen. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Genesis 35, 1 to 12. But before you do that, Dan, would you open in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for it is a day that you have made, and we are glad and we rejoice in it. We thank you for the privilege to gather together and to sing your praises, to worship you, and to hear your word. And so we pray this day that your blessing be upon this occasion. We pray and ask your will be done in our lives. We pray for those who could not be with us this morning. We pray and ask your hand of protection upon their lives. And Father, we do pray and continue to pray for Brother Bob. We pray that you would help him and encourage him in his hour of need. But we pray for each. And Father, we just thank you that you are God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who changes us not. We thank you that you are our Redeemer in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. And we thank you that we are not alone, for you have given us your indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray that your Spirit would fall upon us this day and this hour and in our lives, that your will would be done. We thank you and praise you and bless you in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. Genesis chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alamoth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Jacob was in need of a recommitment, a refocus upon what he was supposed to be doing in his life. Oftentimes we as Christians find times when we need to get back on the straight and narrow way. And such was the case with a Scottish missionary by the name of William Chalmers Burns. As a young man, his mother encouraged him to be a preacher. But he desired to be a lawyer and to pursue wealth. But while he was studying at Edinburgh, he came under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he walked 36 miles home to request permission from his mother to change his course of studies and to pursue theology and the ministry. He was found a short time later weeping in the alleys of Glasgow. And his mother asked him what was wrong. And he said that he was grieving for the many souls in the city who did not know Christ. He was instrumental in the revival of 1839 in Scotland. He preached there for a time, and he went to Canada to preach, but he was not well received. He was even assaulted on several occasions, bloodied and bruised. He returned to Scotland and eventually was commissioned by an English missionary society to go to China. He planted churches, and he spread the gospel of Christ among the Chinese, with some success in some areas, but long periods of drought and disappointment in others. He was briefly associated with Hudson Taylor and recognized the effectiveness of how Taylor dressed like the Chinese and adopted their customs in efforts to reach them with the gospel of Christ, and he did likewise. On January 15th, 1868, however, though, he wrote a letter to his mother back in Scotland. And he said since late 1867, he had been suffering from a recurring fever and chills. And he knew that the end was near, but he wrote in his letter that he was happy and that he was ready by the grace of God. And that he prayed for the God of all consolation to be with her when she received the news of his decease, but that he was joyful whether he lived or whether he died. And a short time later, he went to be with the Lord. But he received his eternal reward. This passage in Genesis 35 marked a recommitment in the life of Jacob. Jacob's significance in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and even throughout scriptures is clear. He is often identified in an acknowledgement of the one true God, as God is identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob was a prominent individual. He was, as we see here, a recipient of the reiteration of that covenant promise of God to the faithful servants of the Lord. According to Usher's chronology and other assessments of the Bible timeline, Jacob was born just behind his twin brother Esau in about 2006 BC. He lived 147 years. And though we can marvel at the towering faith of Abraham or the steady humility of Isaac, it is with Jacob that we might most closely identify. For he was a man, though he was a child of God, he had his faults. He suffered the consequences of his sins and his departure from the will of God. He experienced troubles and disappointments, and yet through it all, he maintained his faith by the grace of God. Jacob indeed had suffered much. He was early on in his life a schemer, a conniver. He had bargained with his older brother for the birthright. He had deceived his father into giving him the blessing. And because of the hatred and the wrath of Esau, he was forced to flee from his home, never to see his mother alive again. He went and settled with his uncle Laban. And though he loved Rachel, he was tricked into marrying the older sister, Leah, and then had to labor another 7 years to marry Rachel. Then his uncle changed his wages 10 times over the next 20 years. When Jacob and his family finally left and returned to Canaan, he had resolved to return to Bethel, that place where God had appeared unto him and assured him of his blessing, where Jacob himself had made a commitment to the Lord that if he would sustain him and preserve him and bring him back safely, that he would worship God. And yet time and circumstances had dampened that commitment. And instead of returning to Bethel immediately, he settled in Shechem. It was there, in a situation of worldliness and a place far off from close fellowship and communion with God, that his daughter was raped and two of his sons executed their vengeance upon the perpetrators by murdering them. And thus, Jacob's family experienced some of the consequences of Jacob's own departure from a close fellowship with God. And this recommitment that we see here in Genesis 35 was Jacob's recognition of the necessity of following the true God, putting away the strange gods, the idols, and the worldliness that so often sidetrack us. And Jacob came to realize that the best way to influence the faith and the lives of his children was to commit himself to a restoration of that close walk with the Lord. We see here in this section of Genesis that Jacob sought to recommit, to reboot, so to speak, the walk that he had. And though he had suffered much when he appeared before Pharaoh many years later, after being delivered from the famine through the treachery of his own sons again. And yet God used it all for preserving Jacob and his family. And though he said to Pharaoh that his years had been long and sorrowful, full of trouble, yet he had the joy of the Lord and the blessing of experiencing the faith and the grace of God. Jacob had determined to return to Bethel. God called him to do so. And God calls us to get back on that straight and narrow way when we deviate, when we go off track, when we get off course. The Word of God and the conviction of the Spirit of God calls us back to that position of remembering God's presence and blessing of the past, how He has provided for us, how He will sustain us in our present circumstances, and how He gives us hope and assurance for the future. We read here in verse 5 that the cities around them were filled with terror because Jacob resolved to return to Bethel. God ordained the circumstances where the cities around him, those who no doubt would have been prompted to revenge for the murder of the people of Shechem, though they were vastly outnumbered and in great danger, God intervened and he blessed Jacob's recommitment and his faithfulness and preserved them from the danger in which they lived. Jacob commanded his family to turn away from strange gods. And this involved, as he said here, to wash and to change their garments. Washing, cleaning themselves up, and putting on clean clothes was not the means by which they were saved or delivered from the wrath of God. It was merely a token or an illustration of that heart commitment to faithfulness and to obedience. He commanded them to turn away from the strange gods. When we allow ourselves to be affected by the worldliness around us, or when we allow our thoughts and our words to be influenced and controlled by the culture in which we live, God is not pleased. And Jacob recognized the urgency of turning back to that initial commitment that he had experienced at Bethel, even as we often must remember the zeal and the fervency of faith that we experience when we're first converted, and not allow time and experiences to distract us from that service, from that initial commitment of faith. And yet, we have the promise of the Scripture that He has promised to restore the years lost to the locust and to the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, the great army that God had sent. And we must realize that God uses these circumstances to refine us, to strengthen us, to wean us from the effects of this world, that we might more closely live in obedience and in submission to His will. This instruction by Jacob as his position as head of the family, as the patriarch, involved a command to his family to turn away from the false gods. They gave him their idols. They gave him their earrings. And this is a reminder that earrings in that culture were often an object of pagan worship themselves. And though made of gold, they had some material value. And yet as an indicator of their willingness to part from those old ways and those pagan practices, they gave him their earrings. And he hid them. He buried them underneath the tree at Shechem. He hid them perhaps as a safeguard against them later having second thoughts and going back and retrieving. And we need to be careful not to revert to old ways, not to continue in old habits, but to strive to put off the old nature and to put on the new. And this is exactly what Jacob and his family did. They returned, they recommitted, and they resolved to turn away from strange gods. In the midst of this account, we see that while they were at Bethel, Deborah died. Deborah, according to the scripture, had been Rebekah's nurse, a faithful servant of Jacob's mother. And yet as he had returned to Shechem, he apparently had taken Deborah into his care in her elderly years, perhaps as an aid to his own wives and children and grandchildren. But here Deborah died, and she was buried beneath the tree, what is translated here as the tree of weeping. It was a time of grief. It was a time of sorrow, because she had been long a faithful servant of the family. But Jacob committed himself to service of the true God. And here we see the result, the change in his life. Jacob had been a schemer. He was a liar and a cheat. And yet, he experienced the grace of God. And here, God reminds him once again that from this point forward, his name shall no longer be Jacob. No longer the schemer or the conniver. No longer the one whose actions and words and thoughts were controlled by selfishness and greed. From that point forward, he would be called Israel, a prince with God. And though Jacob continued to have difficulties, though he continued at times to doubt and to stumble, as we all do, nevertheless, in the eternal perspective of God, he was identified as a prince with God. His faith resulted in the determination by God, as he even has promised to finish that work which he has begun in us, that God, being the one who transcends time, he knows the end from the beginning, and he recognized that he was able to bring to pass that which he had promised in the life of Jacob, as he does in our lives. And he will finish that work which he has begun. He will enable us, even as Paul said, to finish the race with victory and with joy. And thus, God determined that Jacob would no longer be called Jacob, but that he would be called Israel. He commanded Jacob to return to Bethel and to build an altar. And as Jacob and his family return to Bethel, he no doubt remembered that stone upon which he had laid his head 20 years earlier as he fled from his brother Esau. He no doubt saw the place where he had made that commitment on the altar to serve God. And now he restores that commitment. He returns to that fellowship with God. And he resolves that he and his family, even as Joshua had resolved, that as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. There would be more troubles, more trials, more sorrows, more difficulties, and yet great blessing through this recommitment of Jacob and his family to the true God. Jacob is reminded of that special relationship that he had by God's grace, not because of who he was, not because of what he had done or what he could do, but because God in his grace had determined that he was the object of his favor. God had said, even before Jacob and Esau were born, that Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. In his omniscience, he knew that though Jacob had his flaws, though Jacob, like we, was a mere mortal, born into sin, yet he also knew that by grace, Jacob would turn to that fellowship and that obedience to God. Esau, on the other hand, lived his life in a pursuit of the natural, in a pursuit of the fleshly, intermarrying with the Canaanite women rather than seeking God's will for his life. God knew the heart of Esau as he knew the heart of Jacob. And he resolved that Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. He hates disobedience. He hates sin. And he will judge all who remain in their sins. But he promises great reward and blessing upon those who submit to the will of God, those who repent and turn from their sins. Jacob turned and recommitted. He built an altar at Bethel. He acknowledged that that was a holy place, that it was the place where God had met with him, and he resolved to then continue in that close fellowship, in that obedience to the will of God. God repeated the covenant promise that he had made to Abraham and to Isaac, that he would make them fruitful and multiply, that through Jacob, as he had said through Abraham and Isaac, that they would be the father of a nation, a father of many nations, and that kings would come forth from their loins. And indeed, kings did descend in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And most of all, God preserved that line to deliver the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ was ultimately the product of that line. The son of Mary and fathered by the Holy Spirit. But also in the lineage of the line of David. David's son and yet David's Lord. God promised blessing, fruitfulness, reward to Jacob. He repeated the covenant promises, and he remains ever faithful to his word. Jacob committed himself to turn from strange gods. There is but one true God. And man has, down through history, ever since Cain sought to worship in a way that is right in our own eyes. As mankind has made gods in the image of man. As we have attributed divine powers to idols of gold and wood and stone. And yet there is only one true God. The God who knows all and sees all. The Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior. And we, like Jacob and his family, are commanded to turn away from strange gods. We cannot do that through our own willpower. We cannot do that through our own intellect. We could never be good enough for a holy and a righteous God. And yet the commandment of God remains. Our responsibility before His holiness and before His justice is His command that we turn from strange gods. We turn away from them, but we also must recognize that it is only by His grace that we can do so. It is He who enables us. It is His Holy Spirit which has convicted us of our sin, which has opened our eyes to the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And when we recognize that He is the source of our hope, He is the source of our blessing, we, like Jacob and his family, might recommit ourselves to return to Bethel, to recommit our lives to a faithful service, to obedience to the Word of God, to recognize that our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn is 582. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest upon unchanging grace. In every rough and stormy gale, mine anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His darkness, His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When I shall launch in worlds unseen, oh, may I then be found in Him, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. We often get discouraged. There are mountaintop experiences of joy. There are valleys of depth and depression and disappointment that we experience. There are consequences of straying from the will of God and from the Word of God. But there is hope. And there is the promise of restoration and new life in Christ. Jacob was about 100 years old when these events of Genesis 35 occurred. He had experienced much hardship and much sorrow, often by his own making. And yet, he returned to Bethel. He returned to that commitment to the Lord, those promises of many years earlier where he had promised to serve the Lord if he would return him in peace and preserve him in his journeys. He has similarly promised to preserve us, to sustain us, to deliver us. And thus we too need to recommit ourselves. Many times people make New Year's resolutions. They make promises and set goals and objectives of things that they wish to accomplish. But may we as Christians recommit ourselves to return to Bethel, to submit to the will of God and to the Word of God, and to do that which He has called us to do in service and in obedience to our Heavenly King. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding